Lord, this evening, Lord, we come and we stand, and as that song says, Lord God, we are amazed by you, Lord. Lord, we are amazed, Lord God, by your presence, Lord God, and we are amazed, Lord God, by what you do in our lives, Lord. And Father, we just honor you tonight, Lord God. We give you all the glory, Lord God. We give you all the praise. Lord, everything, Lord God, in our lives, Lord God, it's around you, Lord God. Father, if it's not built around you and on you, Lord Jesus, as the rock, Lord God, then everything is in vain. And Lord, we come to you tonight and we just say you are so awesome. And everything, Lord God, that we do, Lord God, and want to do, Lord God, we want to do it in and through you, Lord. And thank you, Father, that we can come tonight and just say, you are amazing, Lord God, and we are amazed by you. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. Great privilege for me to speak tonight. And thank you for just being here tonight and giving your of your time. I know that it's a long weekend and the school's out and everybody's, I don't know where, but no, God sees your hearts and thanks for being here. Tonight, I would like to share just something that God laid on my heart. And for those of you that's not been here in the past couple of sermons and past couple of weeks, you know, the Lord has been really speaking to us, and yeah, and the things that He's been telling us, it's not the not all those nice, fuzzy, feel good things that He's been speaking to us about. So, you know, but I'm really excited, and I know if you heard, if you want to get the CD about just Hercules pray, Opperman, that he preached this morning, and he also said, you know, you'd rather have God speaking to us the whole time and then everything seeming fine and God not speaking. And that's just the big blessing. And you know, the thing that blesses me most is that these things that we've heard from the Lord, God is doing it everywhere. God is doing it all over His church. And that just excites me. It gets me to a place where I'm really looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in our midst. But anyway, for those of you who weren't here, God has been speaking to us, firstly about our pride, and after that, you know, just what it means to really be humble and to walk in humility. So those are the things that God's laying on His church, you know, and His church in general. And we had just a vision and a kind of a thing that the Lord has just really rebuked His churches and said that you know, the church that's not going to follow Jesus in these times, that church's lampstand or the lamp will be put out. You know, Jesus is moving on, and if we're not going to get our hearts in the right position, then, you know, we're going to move into a place where He's not going to be, and I don't want to be there. So anyway, so we are dealing with our pride, and God has really been speaking to us, and we've repented a lot. But then He's also spoken to us about humility. What does it mean to be humble? And that's just so awesome to see what it really means to walk in humility. And then tonight I just want to continue with that humility thing and the humility theme. And I want to speak about honor tonight. Now if you look at the word honor, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you see and you, yeah, I know it sounds nice of all. But you know, God likes that word. God, you know, kind of lives in that word. And when we get this thing right, you know, that's when things starts to happen. But anyway, I just want to just kind of take all of these things, the pride, the humility, and all of those things, just take it into one with a story. One of my friends, Andrew Boltman is his name. And, you know, we went through it was a leadership seminar thing. And, you know, the guy that was doing the seminar, he said to us, listen, humility is in that place where you lay your pride down and you're just taking a step back and you let God do the work. Because God says vengeance is mine. But God says, when you humble yourself, He will exalt you. You know, and yeah, it sounds nice and all that. So we went out there, And he went to Cape Town. Okay? So some people have been to Cape Town for the first time today or this weekend. But they went to Cape Town, but like they just underneath the mountain in those suburbs where the people are staying. One of his friends stayed there, and he went to visit her. So what happened was, he went in there, and the thing about Cape Town, and especially there, and no parking. Okay, there's many cars, and not enough parking. So anyway, he parked the place where he thought that he can be. So as he parked there, you know, he went and visited his friend. When he came out, he parked on somebody's parking. Obviously, that person was really cheesed off, because maybe it's not going to be it wasn't the first time that this has happened. But anyway, he came outside, and then he drove a golfie, you know, not a beetle, but like one of these city golfies. And there was a car that was parked right against his bumper in the front, and then all of his tires weren't just made flat by putting a little rock in the valve. They were slashed on the side with a big butcher knife. All four of his tires. And now, this was like the Friday evening, and the Saturday morning, or the next week, that was after our thing. So it was the one weekend, and the next weekend we were going to be together again for this leadership thing. And we've just listened to this guy speaking, you know, taking a step back and letting God do the work. So, he comes out there, and I don't know what your response would have been. But I think a baseball bat, you know, sounds nice to me. All my tires for all your windows. I mean, that's a fair trade. But anyway, he decided, no, he's gonna listen to. And now, how many spare wheels do you have? One. So for him to get his car running again, he had to get three other wheels. Okay? So he did that. And he wrote a little note. And he said, "Sir, whatever." He said, "I'm sorry for parking on a space. I didn't know it was yours. Please forgive me. Andrew." And he wrote his number down. Put it in his window. Anyway, so he goes to work in the week, and then he comes now and he tells us the story, and it was just so awesome. As he was sitting at work, his phone rings. He says, "Hello." He says, "Listen, I'm sorry about what happened on the mountain." He's kind of, so he said, "No, he says, "Listen, I'm really sorry, but can you give me your bank details?" So he gave him his bank details, and this guy paid in all the money so that he can buy himself four new tires. So in that story lies everything that honor entails. Honor is humility in action. And what Andrew did there is he put humility into action by stepping back and saying, "God, I'll be loving to this man." And God came through for him in a mighty, mighty way. So it was just great to see that. Honoring is not flattery, okay? Because many times we get people that say, "Woo, Tuval, you are so nice. Marie, you are so nice. La la la." But they're wanting something from you. That's why they say these things. Not really wanting to honor you for who you are. They want to flatter you with words so that they can maybe get something from you, okay? That's not honoring. Now, I borrowed a couple of ideas from John Bevere in his book, Honor's Reward. So if you want to go and read it, it's a wonderful book to just go and study this a little bit further. But, you know, something that I've learned in ministry, and praise God for that, is that all my sermons, when I go to a place and preach there, all my sermons at the top, I write intro, pray, honor. Oh, intro, honor, pray. That's all I write there. Intro meaning introduce yourself, and then honor the people. And it's one of those precious lessons that I've learned nice and early in my ministry career. But when you honor people, when you honor people for who they are, then their hearts get opened towards you. It's kind of like a key God gives you. When you honor people, their hearts are opened to you. And they will listen to you. Now, when you come to Malmesbury and you want to preach here and you want to honor people, then you don't come here and you say, "Yo, you know, the pollen in this place is crazy. I cannot believe that you guys are staying in a place like this." Duh. That's not honoring. The people are going to think, yeah, whatever. Get out of here. We don't want to listen to you. But when you come to a place and say, "Listen, you really stay in a beautiful place. All the mountains and the things around you and the green, it's wonderful to see." You know, even a menial thing like that opens people's hearts. But why do we honor? Because there is rewards in it. We honor because God gives us rewards for honoring. But in 2 John 8, we read, and we see that it says, "Look to yourselves, that we may not lose those things that we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." Now, this scripture is just, you know, God many times speaks about in the Gospels and everywhere we read, you know, when an athlete starts running a race, he runs that race to finish the race. And it's not like how you start, but it's how you finish that race that really counts. So, but the last part of that verse, "but that we may receive a full reward." Now, I don't know if you read the Bible and you see something like that. When you see full reward, then, okay, maybe there might be a partial or a no reward situation as well. If you see that there's a full reward. Okay, so that's a good question to ask sometimes. But what is the biggest reward that you can think of? Skip with the title before you fall asleep. Peter? Sean? Eternal life. Hallelujah. Okay? That's almost true. The biggest reward that you can have in life, or eternal life, is God Himself. And, you know, God is so gracious that He shows us in Genesis 15 verse 1, when He speaks to Abraham, and then again when He speaks to David in Psalm 19 verse 9 to 11. He speaks to them and then He says, "For I am your exceedingly great reward." You know, it's sometimes funny for us to think that God is our reward, but that is it. God is our exceedingly great reward. Now, I've read that St. Francis of Assisi, you know, when he was laying, he wrote a lot of things about God on the side of eternity, you know, wonderful things. And then on his deathbed, he kind of, as he lay there and everybody thought he was dead, then he just suddenly came back and he said, "I've seen the Lord and everything that I've written is straw." So he went to that place and he saw Jesus in his fullness as his reward. And then he just came and said, "Listen." And everybody looks to his writings and says, "Oh, that's wonderful things that he's written." But he says, "Everything that I've written is straw," just against what the reward actually is that God has for us, and that is Himself. But now, let's bring it a little bit closer to home, you know. This whole God being our reward might be a little bit far-fetched. We live in an honorless society for the things that really matter. We live in a society that honors success, worldly success. So if you can make a lot of money, if you've got all the cars and the riches and the houses and the stuff, then you're cool. Then everybody honors you. Everybody wants some of your time. Everybody sits up and listens when you speak. Or if you're some superstar on the television, you know. The world honors things like that. They don't really honor the things that God honors. humility. Being subject to one another. Giving, blessing. All of those things, they don't really see. Now, if we take this worldly vision, this worldly thing about success, look at Jesus' story. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, hung on a cross and he died a brutal death. How successful is that in worldly terms? Not successful at all. We would have thought now, in our common thinking today, when you are really exceptionally blessed and used by God as a minister, then you need to have the biggest, the best, the most people that listen to you. Then that's a success story, not Jesus. But then the vice versa of that is, Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate success, according to God the Father. Why? Because he was obedient until death. And then you can take it through, you know, through our culture as the kids to the elders. They don't really listen anymore to the wiser people. There's a little story in 1 Kings 12. If you want to go and read it, you can. I'll just paraphrase it. Rehoboam, he was Solomon's son. He became king, and his dad, you know, did all these wonderful things. But then somebody came to him and said, listen, these are the wise counsel, all the gray heads in the place. And he went to them and they kind of said what he should do, because the people came to him and said, listen, too much taxes and stuff, breaking our back, please help us. And the wise people said, listen, if you give them that, then you will win their hearts. If you will come to that place and say, listen, you don't have to pay as much taxes anymore, you will win their hearts and they will be loyal to you. That's what the wise people said. Then he went to his buddies, his peers, and as he spoke to them, they said to him, no. When you do this, if you do this, the people will, they will not listen to you. You need to show yourself strong. You need to enforce even more rigid things on them than your father did. Then they will know that you are in control. And what happened? You can go and read there. The kingdom, five-sixths of the kingdom was taken away from him. The people rebelled and then, you know, they just went away. Because this guy didn't listen to the wise counsel. He didn't honor those people who had wisdom. And we'll get to that honor thing just now. But I spoke to you about partial or no rewards. And that situation we get in Mark 6 verse 5. It says, Jesus comes to a place and I'll just read the scripture. Jesus comes to a place, okay? No, this is Jesus. And he could not do many mighty works there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and they got healed. Now, if you read something like that, that Jesus, the Son of God, comes to a place and he could not do many mighty works there, then you need to sit up and listen. I mean, Jesus couldn't do mighty works there. Why? Why couldn't he do it? I'll tell you why. That was Mark 6 verse 5. The answer lies in Mark 6 from verse 2 to verse 4. And it says there, where did this man get these things? Now, these are the people now speaking. And what wisdom is this which this man has that was given to him? That such mighty works are performed by his hands. So they see the mighty things that Jesus does. Alright? So they can actually see it. And then they said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And then it says there, and they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, and this is, if you've fallen asleep, listen. A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. So, this is the crux of this whole honor thing. When you honor somebody, in this case, when you honor Jesus for who Jesus is, you will get a full reward. When you do not honor Jesus for who he is, you get nothing or a partial reward. Some of the people got healed. Not everybody. Why? Because they were familiar with him. Yeah, no, he just came here. You know, he was just a carpenter. He came and yeah, we can see him. But when you honor Jesus for who he is, he will give you a full reward. And that just, it's not just for Jesus. It's in every walk of life. Whenever you honor somebody, you know, there's a scripture that says, I don't know where it is now, but you can go and look at it. Look it up. It says that he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Okay? He who receives a friend in the name of a friend will receive a friend's reward. Okay? Just paraphrasing. You can substitute that word, receive, by honor. He who honors a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. He who honors a friend in the name of a friend will receive a friend's reward. God is about rewards, but the thing is, our hearts is a determining factor. When you honor, you will receive. When you do not honor, you do not receive. In every walk of life, that is how God works it. Now, the Greek word for honor is almost, it looks like time, but it's timi. And it means something that is valuable, precious, or weighty. And along with that, it's to show an appreciation or to esteem, to have a favorable regard or respect for something. That's what honoring means. Now let's go and read just a guy that got a full reward. In Matthew 8, and again I'll just paraphrase, you can read it at home. This guy is a centurion, okay? So in other words, he's a Roman guy, and Jesus came for the Jews. So, Jesus came for the Jews. This is a Roman guy that comes to him. So, for Jesus' mandate, for now, as he was living, he wasn't part of that yet. He will be when the Gentiles could have been saved, okay? So, this guy comes to Jesus. He says, Lord, please come and heal my daughter or my servant. Yeah, please come and heal my servant. And he says, fine, I'll come. Okay, so Jesus helps, says, I'll help. Then this guy says, no. I'm not worthy that you come into my house. Esteeming Jesus highly, favorably, valuably. I'm not worthy that you enter even into my house. And then he says some phenomenal things. He says, I am a man under authority. That's why I have authority. I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to that one, come, and he comes. You just say the word. He understood that Jesus had the authority because he was God's son. Just to say the word, and it will be done. And Jesus, one of the only places that you can find in the Bible, Jesus marveled at this man. Jesus said, such great faith have I not found, not even in Jerusalem. This guy, honoring Jesus, esteeming him very highly, what happened? His servant got healed. He got the full reward. Okay? So, the honor principle works like this. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. Says, those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If you honor God, God will honor you. If you despise him, you will be lightly esteemed. Okay, so it's not like you will fade away, you will just be lightly esteemed. Okay, people will not look upon you favorably. And the same thing with that honor principle, we can pull through to our peers, to everything that we do. When we honor people, you know, we will receive that back. If we do not honor people, people will esteem you lightly. In other words, they will say, I will not listen to what that guy says. Why? Because he doesn't honor me. And honor is not that mushy-wushy thing. Honor is just when you go and you see a wonderful woman whose birthday it is today, and you like her and you want to continue in relationship with her a little bit further than just liking her, then you pick up the phone when you want to take her to the Free State and you phone her father and you say, sir, I want to take your daughter to the Free State. Is it fine with you if I do that? I will look after her. I will drive carefully. That's honoring her father. When you just go about, you know, I'm the man, you know, I can do this and whatever, and you do not honor the people that is in a sphere that needs to be honored, you are shooting yourself in the foot. You will be lightly esteemed. From that day on, her father had respect for me. Why? Because I'm so cute? No. Because I honored him in what I wanted to do. And the same thing in your workplace, where you are. When you honor people, when you honor authority, when you honor your friends, you will receive the full reward. And I'm finishing tonight. Hallelujah. What should we honor? We should honor authority. 1 Timothy 6 verse 1 says there, count your masters worthy of all honor. Okay? Who's in authority? Jacob Zuma and the cabinet. Yes. The Val. But have you seen what they're doing? Yes. God says, honor authority. But of all, if they're doing bad things, I'll go and read you a story. Saul and David. 1 Samuel 25. David comes. He has been anointed as king. He will be the next king of Israel. He comes to a place where Saul, the current king, wants to kill him. This is quite bad if you are David. Twice, David had the opportunity to kill him. Twice, he said, I will not lift my hand against God's anointed. He honored authority, even bad authority. And what did God do? God raised him up. Because God says, vengeance is mine. If you honor me, I will honor you. If you honor authority, God will honor you, as he did with David. Then it says there, you must honor your elders. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17 to 18, you can read there. It actually says, the elders who are among you are worthy of double honor. Okay? So, those guys who've proven themselves, those guys who've got children that follow the Lord, and they still follow the Lord themselves, their house is in order, those guys are the elders in the house, and they are worth double honor. Then, you must honor the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says there, honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of all your increase. And then, honor your peers, those people who are around you. Honor them. Honor your friends. You know, and honoring is as simple as saying, I appreciate you for what you do in my life. I've got a friend, Ross. Those of you know about or know him. He's an amazing man. He always honors. And he always gives. I cannot remember a time where I leave. You know, like just last week, I went there for 5 minutes, ran into the office, greeted everybody, ran out. And as we were standing at the car, he says, wait, 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 wait. And then he gave me 2 sweeties. He is a giver. I never leave there without him giving me something, even if it's 2 sweeties. Because that is his lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of giving and honoring. And God blesses that man a lot. And I'm finishing. Honor the little ones. No, no. Firstly, honor your father and your mother. Obviously, for us as children, you honor your father and your mother. Because that's the first promise that God gives us. He says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long on the earth. And then, honor the little ones, even the children. Honor your spouse, honor your parents, honor the children, honor the little ones. You know, I've really seen in the last time, you know, are you willing to listen to somebody that you might not esteem so highly from a worldly perspective? Either a child or somebody that lives in the night shelter. When God comes and speaks to that person, what will you honor that person and receive what God has for you? Or will you put up your judgmental frame of mind and says, just a kid. Just somebody living in the night shelter. God speaks through those people. Will you honor them and then receive your full reward? Or will you dishonor them and lose your reward? Honor all people. 1 Peter 2 verse 17. If people feel honored, you know, they are open to receive from you. Will you honor somebody even if they do not give you something in return? And that's what God's looking for in our hearts. You know, Deval, are you willing to step down from your little pedestal, your pride, and honor somebody, even though that person can financially, spiritually, I don't know, can give you nothing back in return? Where's our hearts tonight? Can you honor somebody, even though he will receive nothing in return? Now, if we start to get this honoring thing right, God will do amazing things through us. And you know, the great thing about honoring people is when you honor them, then you can actually tell them things that's not that nice. And they will listen to you. But if you've not shown yourself worthy as an honoring person, then you will not have that platform to speak into people's lives. Now, if you can stand with me tonight, I'll end off now. There are many people in our lives, put in our lives, you know, that many times get forgotten. People that feel that they're not worthy. If we start getting this thing right, then we will honor those people. We will say, listen, I see you. I really do. And then draw people into our society like this, because many people are sitting outside, and because we are walking past them with our mindset of, you're not worthy of honor. I mean, the Bible even says it. You've got vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. obviously you're a vessel of dishonor. I'll just walk past you. No. When you go to people and you honor them, God can open their hearts and they can receive the love of Jesus. And they will know that God loves them. So, let's just close our eyes tonight, and I just want to ask you a couple of questions. But I'll just pray for us first. Father, thank you, Lord God, that you've given us, Lord God, everything that we need, Lord God. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that this thing about honor, Lord God, Lord, that you will just come and make the penny drop in our hearts. Jesus, because you honored us more than yourself, you died for us on the cross. You esteemed us higher, Lord God, than yourself. That's why you died for us on the cross. Lord, we ask that you would just come and you would bring that in our hearts, Lord God. Bring this honoring thing, Lord God, in our hearts. And come and work it, Lord God, so that we can be people, Lord God, that's known, Lord, for honoring other people, Father. And as your eyes are still closed, you know, do you have God as your greatest reward tonight? If you're in a place where, you know, at the moment you're not honoring God as you should, then I just ask you to feel free and just raise your hand and say, Lord, and I'm not honoring you at the moment. And I want to change that tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord God, that you see these hands, Lord God, that are raised, Lord. Father, I now honor you, Lord God, for their boldness. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would just work a miracle, Lord God, in their hearts right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father. Lord, that as they walk out of this place, Lord God, that they would just walk in that confidence, Lord God, that they are honoring you, Lord. As they just made this statement to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you come, Lord God, and you, when we repent, Lord God, you just change everything around. Lord, you start lifting us up, Lord God, as we humble ourselves. And thank you, Lord God, for their boldness right now, Lord. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord God, that you would do as your word say, Lord God, says, Lord God. And you would just lift them up, Lord God. Lift them up high, Lord God, because you said, yeah, Lord, and we just read it, Lord God. When you honor me, I will honor you. And Father, I ask that you would do that right now, in Jesus' name. And Father, then, lastly, Lord God, many times, Lord God, we walk past many people, Father. And Father, we let our pride, Lord, and our insecurities and stuff, Lord, get in the way of just standing back, Lord God, and having you do the work, Lord God, through us. Father, we ask, God, that you would forgive us that tonight, Lord. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would give us the eyes, Lord God, of honoring. Father, that we will see the situations, Lord God, as you see them. And Father, that we will honor all people like we've just read, Lord. And you expect us, Lord God, to honor everybody. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just work that in our hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here that needs some prayer, I'll be here in the front. Thank you for coming tonight. It was wonderful to see all of you here. And that's it. The Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you, and give you peace as you go into this week. In Jesus' name, amen.